Are we for real good?
Sure.
Okay. This is the Spark and Plug Talks, episode 2 of season 2.
Perfect.
There we go.
Perfect.
And we are with Recyclomedia. That's a capital R and a capital M, Recyclomedia, all one word. So that way when you look them up, you'll be able to find them. And those members of Recyclomedia that are sitting at this table with us right now are Jason and Aaron. Yeah.
Thank you, guys. We're totally not doing this again. This is the first time we're doing this. This is the first time we're introducing
this. Yeah, this, we didn't.
I do have a weird sense of deja vu.
Yeah, we didn't. Yeah,
it's just deja vu.
This is not take two. We didn't fuck up.
No, you meant to do that.
Well, Recyclomedia just got done playing just a killer set. I'm super stoked as the film crew. I don't necessarily hear exactly what Aaron's hearing, so I haven't heard the mixed and soon to be mastered version yet, but
it's pretty good.
I'm very excited for what that shit's gonna be. I'm sure it's awesome.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So let's
start. Put absolutely no reverb on you guys.
None.
Perfect. Zero.
AC/DC. Bone dry. Just right in your face.
Yeah. I'm just gonna compress the shit.
I'm a drummer. I'm very rarely mic'd. So here we go.
Well, awesome. I appreciate you guys coming out and taking the time. And coming all the way out here. Luckily, you guys have been out here before. You know, you're friends with my Uncle Adam, and you've known him, and you've been out to the other sister studio out here at Rainbow Valley Ranch. And so it works out okay that, hopefully you aren't like, these guys aren't going to fucking murder me as you're driving out here to the middle of nowhere. I know that's a common thought. People will be like, nah, I wasn't worried about it. But I know they drive down that dirt road and they're like,
yet.
Where the fuck
we're
are we?
We're not going to murder them yet.
Well, yeah,
I hear
exactly.
Banjos in the distance.
Exactly. Right. It's always in there. You know, you're always thinking about that.
For sure.
The murder bathroom exists. And then we're like, hey, you guys want to come see this pit we dug out in the pasture real
totally, dude. Let's
fucking
go.
Fucking cool.
And then you just have Owen in the background walking without a shirt on. Just
And he does that regularly.
What's going
yeah.
On,
guys? Yeah, he does that. So that wouldn't be that surprising.
No, it would actually happen.
Well, fantastic. Well, you know, let's start with let's just go back to the music that you guys played. So how would you define Recyclomedia? If we're having to put a
label.
I hate doing it, and I say it every episode. I'm like a fucking broken record, and I know people are like, Dylan, oh, he says that every fucking episode where he hates putting a label on shit. But it's the easiest and most convenient way to just kind of classify what it is you're trying to put out there. So but in your words, what would you say Recyclomedia is?
What would you say, Eric? Because
should we ask AI? I mean, shit.
Yeah, we could ask
somebody
AI.
Pull up ChatGPT.
Well,
don't look at me. I don't have access to the internet.
Yeah, no, what I can do is I can say that, what we're trying to do is, we're just kind of a duet, and we're doing bass and drums live, and so, or drums and keys live, and singing. And so we're keeping it pretty minimal and, playing the song. So if I had to say what type of music it is, I would call it probably just indie rock, maybe.
Sick.
Yeah, is that what, or pop?
Dude, that's as great a label as any.
Yeah, I can see that.
Sure.
Psychedelic
sure.
Pop. I don't know.
It's music we've been working on for some time. Some of the songs that we're putting on the album, we've been working on for probably 20, 25 years.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome. So I was to ask, how long have you guys been playing with each other?
Yeah.
Yeah, 20 was it 25 years?
25 years, yeah.
How'd you guys meet?
He just reminded me it was not Facebook or any of those the newfangled apps, because we're old.
It all started 25 years
ago. No, I love these bands.
There was no such thing as an app.
MySpace. No, there was no apps. No, he said it was on the Gazette. We put a Gazette ad in,
actual
in the classifieds.
Print publication.
Yeah. That is so fucking cool.
That's
on the corner.
Dylan and I tried to do that, but then Dylan's dad talked us out of it because he said there's a lot of creepers out there. We're going to put an ad
he
up
showed
at the music
up,
store up in Stillwater.
Yeah, he was like, only weirdos are going to respond to that. What are you doing?
In fairness, nobody our age reads a newspaper anymore.
Right.
Well, only weirdos put the ad out in the first place, so it's kind of perfect, right?
That's kind of what we were thinking. Yeah, we were like, why
they're
would
desperate.
We want to hang out with those people?
Yeah, they're desperate.
Exactly.
We're desperate. Let's be desperate together.
Totally. Makes sense.
Well, I had this idea you know, I'd been playing in these bands and stuff. You know, I really wanted to start playing music that was original, because back then in Oklahoma City, if you were playing around, you were probably playing cover songs. You know, there were a few things that original bands would do, shows that would get thrown, and it was, you know, cool stuff. But, you know, I just wanted to be in an original band, and I thought, you know, if I can just meet some guys that suck as badly as I do, you know, who just want to practice really hard, you know, and get good, we can do that. And really, that was the mission, you know, from the get-go, for me.
No, yeah, it, yeah, totally.
Yeah, and that's what we did.
No, we feel that. We definitely feel that.
We practiced, I think we practiced almost every day for the first year that we
started. Holy shit, totally
awesome, dude.
Yeah. Literally 7 days a week besides holidays.
Yeah. That's incredible. Yeah. I mean, that's awesome. What kind of music did you guys first start listening to that you were like, I want to be a musician. This makes me want to be a musician.
Probably for me, it was like The Doors was probably the first
I could have guessed
like band. And you know, that I was like, oh, this makes sense, you know. And then I always liked the Beach Boys, you know, some old school stuff like that. And then like, you know, after now it's like more jazz. I like listen to crazy jazz. You know,
that's badass.
I don't play
man.
Jazz, but it's like I love listening to it. The intense, crazy jazz. You know?
Eric, I'll tell you, I'm always fucking astounded because it really is like you can never judge a book by its cover, because every person I always ask, like, well, what are your root influences? You know, what do you do? I'm always like, wow, that is such an incredible pool of influences. I don't think there's been one guest on here that I've been like, oh.
Right. Like, he had me with the Doors. I was like, okay, I could definitely see that, yeah. Especially hanging around Adam and stuff. But when he threw in the Beach Boys and jazz, I was like, whoa.
Do you like the Japanese jazz?
I probably would, but I don't actually know any.
I saw like this really weird meme today that had like it was American jazz versus Japanese jazz.
I'll check it out.
I don't have enough time to go into detail because I have to paint a really vivid picture because it's really bizarre.
I'm going to text myself so I don't forget to
But
check
then
out.
I listened to Japanese jazz. And I was like, man, this is fucking awesome. Like, this is like, they kind of like, you know, like how you play a wrong note in jazz? You never play a wrong note in jazz?
There's no wrong notes, yeah.
Yeah, well, they actually play like right notes. Oh, you know, so it's kind of like, I guess I cleaned up jazz. I don't know. It's really weird.
So it's real jazz.
In its purest form, yes, yeah. Almost. I don't know. I think jazz has got
fucking
evolved over time, where it was just like the shittier they got.
Somebody
you know?
Told me once.
Now
was like,
now is the jazz. Now perfect jazz musicians not even a musician. They're just some guy that can't play. And they're like jazz.
Yeah. Somebody told me like, you know, jazz is just an excuse to play a wrong note. And I was like, you know, you're kind of right, but it's also really good too.
Seems yeah. Sick. Pretty good live jazz lately, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, at the Blue Note, they have a jazz night. And they have some really great
UCO jazz here. Labs. Oh, yeah. Always going
totally.
On something.
Yeah. My cousin, Lizzie, is like, shout out to her. She's like a state champion alto sax.
Yeah. Oh, jazz player.
Yeah.
And jazz guitar.
Oh, shit. So she can do this really cool, like old school, like 90s.
Dude, she went over
NYPD,
like
PD. Like,
she did a whole tour of like Europe.
Nor type stuff.
She's like not even out of high school. She did like a
That's
whole
amazing.
Tour of Europe with playing alto sax.
Nice.
Yeah. She's Very killed good. It, dude. She's really good.
Why don't we get her in the band?
yeah, dude.
Wait, dude, retract that. I'll be out of a job.
No, dude, we could do Baker Street. That'd be fucking awesome.
Oh, I thought that place closed down. No, I'm teasing.
No, I'm talking about the George Graffiti song. Yeah.
No, that used to be a club in Oklahoma City.
Yeah. Totally.
Well, what about you, Jason? What's the well you're drawing from?
You know, I do have to agree, The Doors. You know, when I remember going to see that movie when I was a kid, and I believe we went home that day and started our band that day.
Sick.
Like, you know, and... you know, that was at that point there had to be keyboards in the band. So, and we've always kind of maintained that there must be keyboards in the band rule. It's just I started playing them.
That's phenomenal. So, I mean, that's
dude, keyboards are so fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Dude, they're so versatile.
To find a keyboard player is so hard, but if you can get one, they're so fucking awesome.
Do you know, and also when we were in the Mad Laugh, we played a show in Lawton that Robbie Krager and his band headlined.
Yes.
What?
Yeah. So we do. Yeah, definitely a big influence there. Yeah, that was amazing.
Got to meet him. That was pretty cool.
Got to watch him set up his guitar rig. It was really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So yeah,
that's cool as fuck.
Definitely.
Yeah. You
know, the doors.
Hell yeah.
And his son looks just like the kid from Terminator 2. I mean, like, clone. it was very strange.
I mean, like, clone. Like,
what the fuck?
No, he even, like, was like, yeah, I know. I look just, I was like, well, yeah, it's weird.
That's kind of crazy, man.
Yeah.
Sick. Well, let's talk about that music you guys just played. What was the name of the first song?
The first song is called A Glow.
A Glow.
Yeah, A Glow.
Mm-hmm. How'd that song birth itself?
Do you want to have the honors, Wheeler? Or do you want me to go back?
I mean,
it started on drums and guitar.
Totally.
Yeah, and it was supposed to be like a Van Halen song.
And probably a rolled up piece of plant material.
Banjo.
Yeah.
Was the string. Yeah.
That's typically how they start.
Yeah.
With that intent. So we had more intention when we had our, you know, rolled up hemp and you know, things like that, you know.
Yeah. And it was, the whole thing started a couple of years ago, this writing process and, mm-hmm. you know, putting together the songs we have in the program. But yeah, with that one in particular, we started it on guitar and drums. It was before I'd started playing keys. And so, it started as a really rocking song, but then it was one of the first ones that I started to use, play on the piano and be like, hey, we could do it like this, you know.
Yeah. So how long have you been playing keys?
God damn it, you took my question.
How long?
Sorry, I was
like in.
It, well, I mean, with this band or with like just in general?
Just in general.
Oh, since I was like 11.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, you said sure. That. I was like, dude, have you just been playing keys for like 2 years or something?
Dude, because you rip Jesus fucking Christ. Ass on that shit, dude. Like, you just like sit every day just like practicing for the last 2 years.
I do, though. Yeah, I practice a lot. I practice these songs a lot. Yeah. I mean.
Yeah, Jesus.
Yeah, and you'll be able to tell in the video that it's from playing so much that Jason has absolutely massive fucking pythons, dude.
You're like juice. A non-blind fucking
Stevie Wonder.
Stevie Wonder, yeah.
Yeah,
if he could, I was going to say Ray Charles.
If Stevie Wonder could work out, that's
and could see.
Hey, man, just because he's blind doesn't mean he can't lift, brother.
Amen to that. Amen to that, bro. Yes. Hell yeah.
It's just an excuse.
Hell yeah. That's cool as shit, man. And that song.
More for Clever Lang.
Oh, hell yeah. Hey, that's, yeah. Oh, well, my bad. I dropped the ball on that one.
God damn it, Dylan.
My bad. Now he's pissed. Now he's going to. He's beating me up.
Podcast is over. See you guys later.
I'm putting in the reverb now.
Fantastic. And that song was just born out of like a jam session?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we started working with it. The cool thing about that song is it's the one that, like, I think we started writing it in like F, and I'm like trying to scream like a tenor. And it's like, you know, I'm not, I'm a baritone, if that. And so that was the song that I started learning when I moved to piano to kind of shift through different keys and find the right kind of key center. So that I could actually sing the vocal line that I wanted to sing.
Definitely much easier on piano than it is.
And I think that's the one of the advances or growths that we've made as a band mm-hmm. since our inception is to begin to think about, you know, where the song is at key-wise and how that lends to what we want it to sound like. And that was really the first song that I started to think that way and move it around in the keys.
Yeah.
Until I finally realized one day, oh, I sing it better in this key. And then... You know.
That's immensely just a fantastic skill to have to be able to just freely move wherever you need to in order to better serve the song. Definitely.
Yeah.
How long has a Recyclomedia been an idea? Like, has it just been something you guys have kicked around recently, or
we started practicing a couple of years
ago?
Two years. Once a week. We play like once a week, mm-hmm. and we just started playing him and guitar, writing just like I said. Yeah, just doing the thing, and then. Yeah, I finally just jumped on the piano in my house and was like, well, this seems cool.
And it was around that time that, you know, we knew we wanted to make like an album length thing. Mm-hmm. And all these songs go together. They there's no stop.
Yeah, you know, I noticed you said song that to the next, when you started. Yeah,
for nine songs. And
the ninth song rolls around to the first song.
But, is it a concept album or are they all just flow together?
It's coming together there's a concept. Yeah, there's going to be, you know, a steady thread throughout.
Gotcha.
It's going to be called Lost Times.
Sick.
Yeah, and
an exclusive. That's folks right here. That is a Spark and Plug Talks exclusive.
that's what we're working
Sample
on.
Sample it.
It's called Lost Times. And that would be the next song. That would be that song number five.
Okay, very cool. Yeah. So it's maybe not as blatant as a running theme throughout is, you know, like, whatever, the Tommy or it, something like that.
It's about but, memory.
Okay.
And,
you cool. know, sick.
Loss.
Well, now I'm really excited. And
that's awesome, man.
Yeah.
That's right as shit.
Sick. Yeah. That's very cool.
I love concept albums. Just don't do the Kiss concept album with the fucking prog shit they did. That was kind of rough. don't go down that route.
Did I hear a really good cover of the Kiss disco song the other day? Has anyone heard that? It's like a girl band and it sounds so good.
No.
Veruca Salt?
Maybe. Do they cover that?
Of course you
would. I don't know. But Veruca Salt is pretty sick.
Yeah, it's agreed. Not Veruca Salt. I don't think Veruca Salt's a band, aren't they?
Not anymore. They probably are.
Yeah. I don't think anymore.
I think they broke up in the early 2000s or something like that. Probably. Well, anyways, whatever.
It's pretty good. Yeah.
Well, when you guys are writing songs, I mean, Jason, are you the primary lyricist? Or do you both contribute?
Yeah, I write the lyrics. Yeah.
I would assume that Eric would write his drum parts and not like... vice versa kind of deal or anything like that. Sometimes people bring different ideas to the table and everything like that.
He drums strictly to the built-in Yamaha keyboard loops on his piano. He has to memorize each loop.
Man, actually, I did like demo these so I could like learn to play them and sing them like with Apple loops. So there's a the remix is out there.
Oh shit! Hell yeah!
The techno remix.
Yeah, it is out there.
The remix is out there.
Yep,
that's a vinyl exclusive. That's two bonus tracks on the end. Very sick. Well, awesome. So, first song, and then the second song was.
Second song is called "Broken Days."
Broken Days.
And yeah, I mean that's one that I had a song in mind, and I could just hear it, and I finally. Kind of figured out what the chords would be to it. And as it started to come together, I was like, well, you know, let's just go for it. And, you know, Eric came with this, you know, fantastic kind of groove thing. And that's how that one came together. And
yeah, I really like playing that song. It's just, really like it.
My nihilist gospel song.
Yeah. I really enjoy it.
Very cool. You guys, Jason, when you're writing or when you sit down and they're just experimenting with songs, is that typically how most of your songs are born? It's just kind of, do you have preconceived ideas or is it just like letting stuff kind of blossom as it happens?
We actually have a crazy conspiracy theory.
Let's hear it.
It's such a conspiracy theory. I don't know it.
No, you know about this one. Eric and I have all these conversations about what we're doing. Just this crazy, you can imagine, just these crazy ideas.
I can definitely imagine.
I think that somewhere in the future, actually here in the future on this podcast, those songs will be playing. We started hearing them back 2 years ago when they were playing here. And we were like, what is that sound? And so we've been catching up to these songs the whole time.
Yeah.
That's our conspiracy theory.
That's fucking
the
deep.
Songs exist and we're just like
you're just chasing after
you're chasing through the ethers.
Yeah.
For these songs that are already out
there. That's like spiritual shit.
It kind of does seem that way though.
I'm not prepared for this.
Yeah.
Well, at one point we realized that
not ready for these thoughts.
If we had exactly like 36 minutes, so just that we inadvertently wrote, you know, for, you know, perfect kind of album length.
My God, you're X-Men.
Yeah, just kind of. So it's kind of we think it happened on its own, and we're just kind of
just filling in those gaps almost
there. Yeah, catching it.
Wow, that's pretty amazing.
You guys are that connected soul wise.
It seems that way.
I'm not gonna lie, that's probably the greatest answer I've heard to that question so far.
Fantastic.
We're just listening.
Yeah.
That's really cool, man.
Congratulations. You guys take the top spot.
Yeah. Woo. We do have a cake in the fridge for you.
Not only are they exclusive on the Spark.
We'll give you
plug,
that cake, and we'll give one 9-volt battery to each of you.
Okay.
You're welcome. That's it. Those are the best prizes we have here.
Yeah.
Cake sounds great.
Yeah. We got some Dots pretzels, too. Oh, wait.
Nope, I really totally good. Ate
oh, Jared. Never mind.
Might have a corn dog laying around somewhere.
Do you guys, like, when you're practicing, are you guys like, man, we got to take a breather. Let's go, besides just, you know, smoking ganja, y'all go, like, watch movies or anything?
No.
No, we're like one of those, like, 20th century bands that
Literally, I mean, the intent of smoking the cannabis at this point, I work in a testing lab, so I get to see all these different terpene profiles and all this stuff. And we became patients when it all happened, right? So, like, it's like he would come over and we would have this one specific one that we'd try, play, and it was like kind of our, you know, measurement every time. So, like, yeah. For literally, like, every time it was like, okay, that one works. No, that one not. Sometimes it'd be like, oh, that would be good live. You know, but then otherwise, like, no, don't play that. You know, never smoke that one.
Yes, yes. As a band, our weed smoking is quite scientific.
It's very, very, wow. It's very channeled.
Wow, I like your weed.
That was 2 years in the making also, you know, so and it was part of the reason we're catching it, right? Otherwise, we wouldn't have caught it.
We would tell you about the movie idea, but that's, we're just going to hold that one off.
What if that's what everybody's doing wrong? They got to do what these guys do.
So you guys just, like, get in a room, smoke a bunch of weed and just start playing?
We go outside, actually.
Mm-hmm. And better. Yeah.
You go outside and play?
Is there a fire pit involved?
No. Outside and smoke, right? And then inside to play, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But like, break. Yeah, pretty much every time.
Band practice.
That sounds like an amazing band practice.
Yeah. That's what it's just band practices.
That is exactly what we
songs,
do.
Write your songs, man.
That's so inspirational.
I kind of low-key want to try that.
You guys are like an alternate universe Jay and Silent Bob.
That's funny. Not as silent.
Yeah.
I get to wear the stocking cap.
If that's where the line is drawn.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Sweet. That's funny. What's the story behind the third song? Broken Days,
the one
and then
about the spaceship.
Yeah,
that's all good.
Yeah,
rips,
dude. Yeah,
dude.
It was once called the Rainbow Lingerie Store in the Sky. I think I had.
Holy shit, that's
absolutely
different.
Fantastic.
When I'm writing lyrics,
you guys are on a whole different fucking plane.
I was cutthroat.
That is fucking rad.
That was sick.
Okay,
dude.
That isn't inspired by. There's a character on Game of Thrones, the Cutthroat Brand. Do you watch Game of Thrones?
Yeah, I was
just so obsessed with his character. I was like, yeah, I'm like him.
I love Brand.
That's me. That's me.
You like rapped a little bit in it. Yeah. And it was sick, dude.
Oh, the Cutthroat. Yeah.
Like you kind of there's parts where you kind of rapped it.
Oh, know?
The cadence was almost.
Yeah. I'd go all over the bar lines. There's just no.
It was cool.
No, it was dope. Dude. It was cool. As fuck.
And a lot of it did come with the rhythms first. You know, I felt the rhythms that I wanted to do. You know. And that was one that also started on guitar and drums.
Yeah, I don't even recall those days.
That one did. That one.
I really don't.
It started on guitar and drums. I have the recordings of it. And when we go to that kind of minor, that chorus, the guitar chords are really pretty. But then, you know, I worked out that kind of arpeggiated melody.
Yeah.
That kind of runs through there on piano and then comes back at the end as a vocal.
That's rad.
Yeah. So I don't think I even made the like kind of switch from like to play more straightforward on those like kind of little interlude, you know, parts.
Yeah.
Until like later on, because I feel like we must have just played it. That's why I'm not recalling, because I kind of changed it to more of a straightforward.
Yeah. And all your drum parts, like you played the song so well.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah. And, like they were really like make the other part of the band. Like you're not Meg White in it.
No, he plays songs.
Yeah, he like
he plays the songs.
Yeah, so they were all really good. Cool. Everything was tight, and you know, just like there was never
disrespect to Meg White. She's cool.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, a lot of the some of the other drummers we have in here, and it's no, dude. I'm the same way. I'm a drummer. I've been the same way. There, every time we play something live, record it, whatever. There's always you know like one little part you can look back on and just whether it's just like you didn't hit the snare the exact. Perfect way you wanted it to do, you know, whatever. Maybe you hit the shell one time, whatever.
Right.
Dude, that, like, I can't think of it. I was listening to you the whole time. I can't think of the time where I was like, ah, maybe you could have done that one again. Like, even on, you know, but it's live, you know, so I don't, totally. I never hold it against anybody because I'd be the same way.
Yeah.
But
I appreciate that.
There was never a time where I was like, eh, I don't know if that feel quite hit, you know, but like, it was on the money.
You're in the pocket. Both of you guys are like in the pocket.
Yeah. We've played it live a lot. We've played it a lot.
I was going to ask, what was the first project?
Not with this project, but we've played live a lot.
Yeah, yes. You were telling us about some of the...
Samurai Saki.
Yeah, some of the sweet stories. What were some of the first projects, bands you guys were in?
Oh, man.
Because I know there's got to be some funny stories.
Yeah, he started before me, but so I'll go. He's probably got more stories. But yeah, I started with some guys when I was 18. I didn't play drums until I was 18 years old. So like, I literally was just like, that's when I listened to the Doors. I was like, dude, I want to get some drums, you know. smoke some weeds. We'll go back to the weed, but it was so funny. And then, that's ended up like what set me off. And we just played and were terrible, you know. But we had my parents' barn. So I was like, we had 5 acres. So it's kind of like reminds me of this too, I think, is why it's like so like, oh, this is where I learned to play.
Yeah.
In the country, you know. And so we had a barn and we set it all up as like a sound room and played music, you know, all the time in there. Like we had a Plain Jane was the band. Actually, our singer was Carter Sampson, who's like, you know, she's traveling.
No shit.
She was like 15, 14, 15.
Small world.
Yeah, we had Carter out for Pigfest last year.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, she's like, literally
really great.
Yeah.
This is going to be embarrassing, but like literally she got grounded and couldn't come play. Holy like, no shit. Like it was
that
so great.
That is so fucking wild.
Yeah,
man.
It was great. Yeah.
I have a Carter Sampson top fan badge.
Nice.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Sick. And that was the first project you were in?
That was it, yeah.
Yeah. What'd you graduate to from there?
We stayed, like, well, we came, we same Plain Jane, I guess. We replaced the singer over time. And then
Carter's kept getting grounded.
Gosh,
couldn't
I don't
take
even
it.
Know who, honestly, I don't even know if we had it.
Oh, God, can we get to the stories where your brother was 18?
Yeah, I'm not even sure what the heck the band name. I'm completely blanking if I had a band name in the middle section until we got him. Because you were in the band when we called it Mad Laugh, correct?
We came up with the name Mad Laugh at like 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning at band practice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so like I was not hardcore in another band until that. I can't recall if there was a middle band name. Like literally I can't even remember. But like Plain Jane was the first one and then maybe that continued.
Somewhere there was something in there.
Maybe we just kept on with the Plain Jane. I don't remember. It's kind of funny. I literally don't remember at all.
And then you guys joined up in Mad Laugh?
Like 98.
98.
Yeah.
How long was that? Was that project going on?
We were 8 years solid, I think. Sick. About eight, till about 2005, 2006. Yeah,
we had a band house we lived in for like 5 years at least. Like something.
Yes,
like that.
We did. That.
Oh yeah,
that was it. That's that rad. Those were the days, man. $330 for everything: rent and bills, internet, the whole deal.
That hell was, yeah!
Fuck yeah!
I know it's hard to even fathom that, right? That's how old we are.
So much it costs in gas. To, like, we gotta get back to work in a week.
Yeah, that was the days. I was like, oh my gosh, you know, the communal living. That's where it's at.
That's badass, man. That. What about you, Jason? What was the first project you had going on?
I was in my first band in the '80s.
Oh my god,
1980s for real.
Holy shit!
Yeah,
he witnessed firsthand. Yeah. The revolution.
I got my first real six string. Bought it at the Five and Dime. Oh. Played it till my fingers bled. It
was
a summer
of
like. How do you start a story like this?
Write that down. I was going to say he witnessed the firsthand digital revolution that Money for Nothing video caused.
Oh my god!
Yeah, I was there.
What was 9/11 like?
I was in 11th grade, man.
Terrifying.
No, I wasn't 11th grade, actually. I was older, but not too much.
We released our first record on September 11th, 2001.
100%.
That's what we were doing on 9/11.
Yeah. Holy shit.
What horrible
talk about,
timing.
Talk about conspiracy theories.
Yeah, that's why you don't know about our band.
Talk about conspiracy theories. These motherfuckers play.
That's karma.
Shit. On 9/11.
Like,
that's why we haven't released another one.
Yeah.
The next time we do
dude,
it.
I don't want you to release another one.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Everybody run. What was the first project you were in?
Oh, God. It was just some kids from school. Amy and Joe Gillen I played with.
Joe Gillen?
Yeah.
Bass player.
Joe Gillen, yeah.
I see him.
And,
shit.
Yeah, he was playing bass. His sister was playing drums and I was playing guitar and we were just
Joe's
trying
really
to play songs,
bass.
Writing songs. We were really into this band that someone had a demo tape of from like Missouri that nobody else had heard of called something like the, I forget what they were called, the Electric Fish or something. I don't know. They were, and it was, it was this great, no, they were just, nobody's ever heard of them. And these songs, I wish I could find that tape again because the song, it was a demo tape of a band from Missouri and the songs were so fantastic. They were just really good songs. And, but that was not the band I was in. I was in the band with Joe and Amy and, you know, we were trying to learn how to play our instruments.
Sick.
That was when my mom still had to drive me to band practice.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
The struggle is real.
You know, a couple years after that, we were, had got some other guys in the band, Ben and Eli and, you know, Kai, and we were playing arcades and I'm 17 years old, dressing funny and, you know,
hell yeah.
Playing music on jams in Shawnee and
trying to, you know, do a cover of Summer 69, Justice.
Wait, nobody will ever play that song with me. You don't have to worry about it. It's just my rock and roll fantasy.
Sick.
It's Jared's too.
Hey, fuck you, man.
Jared fucking loves that song.
Set it all quiet.
Sorry, the pacifist.
So then the Mad Laugh came, and
I think I'm up to about 1990 at this point.
Yeah, you had like way more stuff.
Yeah, I played around a lot, you know.
Did you ever play anything with Adam?
You know, not until in 2010 we did that Samson Mammoth record. Mm. I finally got to play with Adam. Adam's talent is immense in so many ways. He is truly.
He's a fucking
truly
dude.
A dynamo. He's a great songwriter. A great singer, and he can play everything.
Yeah, I wish they just released an album like every 6 months.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. I'm like, well, it takes them 6 months to master one song.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
And they have a bit of that perfectionist to go with. Oh,
100%.
You're telling me.
There's been times like Aaron and I, like after practice or something, we've been up in the studio, and it's been him, Adam, and myself. We'll be noodling around just playing random shit, and Adam's like, oh, that's fucking good. Go with it. And then he'll just start singing lyrics out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You're like,
oh,
dude,
yeah,
this is so good. And he's like, I don't remember that.
Yeah, yep. He's a fountain, man. A fountain of creativity.
Yeah.
Extremely talented.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. Well, what about the fourth song?
The fourth song. What is the fourth song? Morning Shakes. Morning Shakes is an old, old, old song.
That seemed a little quicker than the...
More up tempo.
Yeah.
That one's, the other ones. We play a little bit quicker. It's more of a kind of.
Yeah, like a little disco beat in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Out of that.
Yeah. Eric was definitely head that thing, you know.
I had to catch myself a few times. I was like, fuck, messing up the shot.
I know.
Fucking camera's like.
I don't know if you guys have ever seen Wolfpack, like the bass player ever, but his neck is. I don't know if it's like disconnected from his head, but his neck comes, his head comes so far because he's bopping so hard
when
he's playing. And I saw him at Bonnaroo, and like I was with my little sister, and she was like enamored. She was like, "How is he not in pain?"
Wow,
like he's because we were on the rail in the pit, and we were like, and I was like, "Oh, these guys are pretty awesome. You know, they're just jamming. They're just some fucking dudes." And she's like, look at his neck. What's the thing? Because it was moving so violently.
Wow.
Like, you know, but anyways.
That's funny.
I say that because Eric was getting some of that going on in that.
Okay. I was sitting there thinking, man, we need to work on our like rock and roll showmanship or something. I need the moves like Jagger.
Yeah, where's your guitar, dude?
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't remember where I saw that. Brian Haas. But it was like a month or two ago, and I saw a dude just straight ripping a guitar, and I was like, what?
It's badass.
What is going on? But like, I am super thrilled right now.
I'm going to make a mental note
Famous
of that.
Famous last words.
Make a mental note of that.
We're going to have a fucking guitar show up at the studio. Yeah. Jared's going to get another drunk purchase.
Yeah. Jared drunk purchased.
I got
purchased
drunk last time. I bought a $400 guitar.
Hey, man.
Jared drunk purchased the Dobro somewhere.
No.
Oh, not the Dobro.
A didgeridoo.
Oh,
yeah. Yes.
A gigantic didgeridoo.
I bought one once.
See? It happens.
Were you sober?
Yeah. We can't. It just sounds like.
Yeah, that's exactly what it sounds like.
It's hard to remember.
We had a trumpet player out here, and he actually was like. He actually got some cool fucking sounds out of it, but we just sound like, I don't know, a gaping asshole or something. It doesn't sound good.
Oh, Lord, no.
It's hard to do the circular breathing. It's not an easy thing.
Is that what you got
to
do?
Yeah, you have to, like, keep breathing in while you're breathing, pushing air out of your mouth.
Like Mongolian throat singing shit? Like,
yeah, you have to have your air in your mouth and close your throat, but then still blow it out at a constant pressure in your
trick to it.
With your mouth.
Wow, there's a lot more that goes into that than I thought.
God, what'd the mouth do, though?
But
shit.
Then if you do it right, you're just circular breathing and you're playing and
damn.
If only the didgeridoo were here.
Yeah.
I'm sure we. I'd like to see a demonstration.
I mean,
do you guys have it?
I do have
it. Yeah, it's around here somewhere.
Jared, it's in the live room, dude.
Jared,
let's hit it.
Jared, get the didgeridoo.
All right, please stand by. The kitten hanging on the string, hang in there. Standby music. Jared's like crashing in the background. Fuck.
Yeah, earlier you said go get those XLRs over there, Jared. He just like. God, like, with these right here, Jared. There it is.
Oh my God. That thing's behold, there is
that thing's legit.
A legit didgeridoo.
Yeah, mine was probably PVC.
Give it the old blow. Puff, puff, pass, pass.
See if I could, I've got a beard, so I didn't have one in those days. Nope.
Holy shit.
It sounds like a foghorn, horn, dude. Yeah. That's actually pretty good.
That's right.
You take the top spot
That's
now,
right.
dude.
Yeah.
Very Jason's nice. Got to try it. Jason got to
oh,
try
no,
it.
I'm golden. Oh, no, that's he why, can't do that's it. Why Eric's here. He plays didgeridoo.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's mean, my second talent.
That
yeah.
should be the spark and plug rite of passage. You have to.
Sorry, that's yeah. my next Sorry album. Ryan. You got to come back out to fight
we're gonna,
for your title.
We're going
to
clip that, and that'll be our intro from now on.
Yeah, yes. we could have I think I had enough play where if you just cycle it, you know, recycle media.
Well, throw some fucking verb on it, dude.
We should have a spark and plug version of Celebrity Deathmatch, but like, who can play the didgeridoo better?
What the fuck? So guys just be like, I'm not
you could just call out other local artists. Like, we challenge Model Issue to a didgeridoo out.
Hosty, you've been challenged for a didgeridoo.
Dude, I bet Hosty could fucking rip a didgeridoo.
He probably could.
He probably can.
Yeah. He probably fucking could.
Rip a kazoo, honestly. That's for sure.
That he can.
Yeah.
Well, what?
Yeah, that could get embarrassing really fast.
We're not worried about that.
I'm here for it.
Blackmail. Yeah. But what's Recyclo Media got coming up? When's the album coming out?
Well, we are working around the clock these days. Oh, no, I've had the drum tracks for about probably 6 weeks now, 7 weeks, eight
six.
Weeks, coming up on 8 weeks. Then I've got a couple more keyboard tracks to play, and then I'll be singing. And we've got a few of the songs are still, we're listening for them. They're writing themselves as
yeah.
we speak.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, I would guess probably as bad as I would like to have them done by September, probably much longer than that, like probably into next year, you know, I would guess.
Probably, yeah.
Being
yeah,
realistic. No worries. You know, and that's, you know, we haven't really created any social media or anything.
Yeah, yet, for sure.
Because it's like we're just now kind of...
You're trying to
yeah, we'll
say
maybe by the time this comes out, you know, yeah. we might yeah. have like a Facebook page or Instagram
yeah.
page.
Oh, yeah, we'll definitely do all that. We'll,
yeah, totally.
That's on Sick. The agenda now, thanks yeah. to you guys kind of having
Giving,
us on a public
yeah, yeah.
venue format.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really cool.
Something mm-hmm. relevant to post.
So, yeah. So do you guys have any shows at all coming up, or are you just still kind of woodshedding stuff?
We're still woodshedding okay. and recording. Yeah, okay. yeah I want to be able to play like the whole record
okay.
straight out
gotcha.
When we... do play live.
Well, it sounds fucking great so far.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever you're doing, keep doing it.
Yeah. yeah and, you know, we've been tossing around the idea here of we're always thinking about how we can use the space down in the Pecan Grove because, you know, we've got two stages down there and we've got good amount of infrastructure to put on a show down there. Mm-hmm. So, hey, you guys want to have like an album release party when that finally does happen, you know?
Where is this?
Right down just here in the Pecan Grove.
It's kind of cool. Yeah, yeah that's a really cool idea. Here.
Big
yeah.
ass, big ass TP and
amazing.
You know, down there, yeah. big stage.
Okay.
Yeah,
that'd be pretty Classic. Cool.
Love to film it and make it into a DVD.
That'd be yeah. super cool. Yeah,
that would be awesome.
I'm yeah. getting ideas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Okay.
First, I got to finish writing the record.
yeah. 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 Well, I guess that comes first.
Yeah.
But the awesome. So Recyclo Media, and it's really fucking cool that this is the first time these songs have been played live. On the on the Spark and Plug, badass. Mm-hmm. I appreciate you guys coming out.
What a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. And it's been really cool. I'm seriously stoked to hear these songs after Aaron works his magic on them. Yeah. It is going to be awesome.
Allegedly.
There it is.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks. This is really cool.
Oh, very cool.
Aaron, we haven't done your segment yet.
This is Aaron's segment.
Oh, the fuck one, kill one, marry one?
Yeah.
Oh, that's only if you guys are game for that. It's not for everybody.
I have no idea.
That and you haven't brought up cold ding dongs or anything.
Yeah, I guess I'm kind of rusty, man.
I know.
We haven't got back in this in a while, so.
Cold ding dongs and a corn dog, brother.
Well, now she brought them up. Now we're good. Thank
you,
Gary.
You're welcome.
Do you guys like cold ding dongs? Or like any kind of Hostess treats or Little Debbie stuff?
You know, I had an eighth grade teacher, one of the guys, and he was like, too many Twinkies and ding dongs. And so I just, you know, I really don't, you know, like, you know, that was his sort of excuse for like, you're
just
not
curious.
Too bright.
Nah, man, I fucking love pastries, dude. Like, even cheap pastries. Like, you know, you ever go like on Q and you see like
JJ's fried pies.
Some fucking Swiss rolls, and you're not like, fuck it, I'm doing it. I'm going to do it while I'm going
home. I like
home.
A good apple fritter, never I have
with,
to say.
Never with Swiss yeah. rolls, apple no.
Fritter. No, not big Swiss roll. How about a, I don't know.
Y'all ever get some Arbuckle fried pies?
Yeah, that, yeah, those I go
down there
those,
in Davis.
Yeah.
You like
those
snowballs?
Legit.
I do.
Oh, hell yeah. Thank you. We got another one. Yeah.
Man, that's pretty rare. You don't find a lot of people
yeah,
that like
I
snowballs.
Love snowballls.
That's what you call a purist.
I love snowballs. Yeah, you're a Hostess purist for sure.
Yeah.
Have y'all ever had Tasty Cakes? I think they're from the East Coast.
Heard
Tasty Cakes.
They are so goddamn moist, boy. Yeah. I tell you what.
Hey, boy.
That's good shit.
Hey, you like combos?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, this motherfucker's from the East Coast spiritually.
Hey, man, I love combos. Pizza
that's what I'm saying.
Do you remember
dude.
The original combos?
Hell no, I hate combos.
So,
I don't combos. Like them at all. They're so fucking gross.
So the original combos, before, like when I was a kid, they were called conquistadors, which is a way cooler name, and they were way better.
I could get behind that.
They were more like mossy, like combos. They were way better than combos.
Back in the 80s when Julius Caesar was still cool.
Back when they could give you cancer.
Hell yeah, dude.
Things of the old times.
Bald eagle screech.
All right, this has been the Spark and Plug Talks, episode 2 of season 2 with Recyclo Media members Jason and Eric. Thank you guys once again for coming out.
Hey,
yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, keep your eyes peeled for any Recyclo Media stuff. These awesome fucking songs that, remember, they are to be taken not necessarily in chunks because the end goal is to have them all flow together. So just keep that in mind as you're listening and cool. watching. Peace. This is Dylan out.
J-Rod.
See.
Thanks.
Thank you, guys.